Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We're rolling out the early Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I am a guy anxiously looking at his mailbox waiting for a t-shirt to arrive, and with me is the guy who's going to be providing me that t-shirt. So if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to us, 646-478-3753 is enough to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a new one of them to pop up over there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Dan, I was greatly, greatly disappointed. I got to watch the entire first period yesterday, and man, it was just fantastic. There was no support. They were up and down the ice. A lot of really good defense being played because there weren't very many even really good scoring chances. You know, it was 0-0, and you know, that's obviously the thing about having my job is, you know, that's it for me. I'm done. I gotta turn it off. I gotta go to bed. Get up at 2 o'clock. So it's just not gonna happen. And then, I gotta wake up and find out what goes on. So I was like, damn, how much game did you get to watch? Yeah, I'm too old for that now.
Well, I got into class. I plugged my iPad into the charger, and then I forgot it was in Vegas, so I. Yeah, you know, that adds the extra half hour to the start time or the puck drop. And
yeah.
I was basically able, I streamed the first two periods. Class was over. I got out, talking to one of the guys in the class for a couple minutes. Got back in the car, drove 5 minutes, and heard the fourth goal scored by Washington. So I missed the third one, but I was there to listen to everything else until I got home.
Sadly, I didn't get to see any scoring, but as we know, Washington did win, 4-3. You know, everybody I've talked to, it was apparently a very good game. But Alex Ovechkin gets his cup, you know, for first one of his, you know, very long, obviously, Hall of Fame career. I think we're both happy for him. I know you had Vegas. But in reality, I think you didn't really want, did you?
No, I really wanted Washington to win.
One of the people I work with actively rooting against Vegas because they didn't deserve to be this good right out of the gate. And I was just kind of like, well, that's not really their fault, but okay.
Oh, sorry. Give me a second. Yeah. I had to catch my breath.
So, yeah, we shall see how it goes. You know, oddly, and I know, this happens all the time, they've already posted the favorite here in the cup. You know, and I know in a lot of cases it's, you know, the team that just won, but for some reason this year, and I don't really know what the whole scenario is behind it, but it is the Boston Bruins are early favorites to win Stanley Cup next year. And I was looking for it here. I saw the article, but I didn't read through it. I just read the title. So let's see if I can hunt down the entire thing and we can see who else is kind of put where. But are you surprised that Washington isn't the favorite coming back?
Well, Washington or Vegas. I guess it all
Yeah.
depends on who's leaving each team next year.
Oh, okay. And actually, the article is very misleading. They say Boston listed as one of 2019 favorites in early odds. They're actually not the favorite. It's actually Tampa Bay at 9-1. Boston is at 10-1. They're at 10-1 with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Las Vegas is 10-1, and Winnipeg is also 10-1, while the Capitals are 14-1. So, yeah.
I
So
mean,
even though the article says mentioned actually Tampa, your Tampa Bay team, Steven Stamkos is your guy.
yeah, but when I've had him, he's never played.
Yeah, and now they don't have the full list here, so I don't know like what the Blackhawks are or anything like that. But if you're really a gambling man, Dan, you can get the Ottawa Senators right now for 100-1. So if you think they're
Didn't
gonna
they go to?
do it, you can jump on the Ottawa bandwagon. I think they went 2 years ago.
Didn't they? Oh, guess
So.
I'll have to check the bracket again. But did you check out, not only the highlights but the recap? Did you see anything in last night's games that you thought maybe they could go the other way?
Anytime it's close, I worry that it's going to go the other way. And honestly, I didn't expect Washington to close it out. I really thought it would take them, one more game. I thought it would end up going six. I thought, going back to Vegas would be a big boost for them. And I was kind of like, man, this is going to be tough. But yeah, they really, they played well, and it gets some of the naysayers off of them now, because they've always been kind of looked at, kind of, I mean, to use the not really the proper term, but they've always been kind of looked as chokers. So this really obviously helps with kind of the stigma of that off of them. And it's nice. I really wanted to see Ovechkin get a cup. Obviously one of the greatest players in probably NHL history. So to not have one, for him to get one, is a big deal. And I think that's cool.
Yeah, well, I
But
mean,
yeah, to kind of answer
generally.
you, I'm always so.
Well, I was going to say with the last 2 years, I can see why they can be looked at or considered a choke artist. The President's Trophy
Yeah,
2 years in a row.
what was the big hurdle? Getting past Pittsburgh. Yeah, that was, kind of the hang up there was, you had to find a way to get past the Penguins, and that was a big hurdle. See, I was kind of wondering if maybe once they did that this year, they would almost have kind of a letdown, and they would end up losing. I think it was Columbus in the series after that. And I was just kind of afraid they would flatten out, and it would just be kind of like, oh boy, we got past our big hurdle, and now let's, we did what we needed to do. And I thought maybe next year would be their year, but yeah, no, they rolled in, and Vegas was a really fantastic team, especially in the playoffs, and Washington really, really played well. So it'll be interesting to see now, what kind of happens. I know there's some bigger free agent questions with them, like a lot of teams. So we'll have to, have to see who ends up where or how things work out. But
Yeah, I think that's the difference maker last night, aside from the two goals in the third period, but within the second period, on the I think it was the last power play of the period, and Vegas had the opportunity and they could not keep the puck for 2 minutes down, and Washington's side, Washington kept kicking it out. And, right there it was up, they were at the lead 3-2. And, I think if they were able to have scored in that situation, you know, maybe the Capitals still would have won, but I think it would have been closer for the Vegas to win, and or, you know, not even that, but go into overtime. So, but I think it was pretty exciting, and you'll have to correct me on my pronunciation, but Ovechkin won the Conn Smythe trophy.
Yep.
That's basically the MVP.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Conn Smythe trophy. Yeah, because, you know, the NHL has cool names for their sports, like, you know, the other sports. So, yeah. You know, because, you know, I've always wanted to win the Lady Bing trophy, Dan. So, you know, someday maybe.
Well, I'm sure you've got to wrestle under the such as the Queensberry rules, right? So you've got a cold.
Yeah. There you go. So, you know, now we wrapped up one playoff series. You know, the NHL season is officially over. Does the NBA season end tonight, or do they find a way to stretch this damn thing out one more game?
Well, this should be the game where Steph Curry falls out before the second half.
Yeah.
Isn't Draymond Green
in the first quarter?
Yeah. No, I mean, I would love to say you never know with having LeBron James and all, but unlike the last Heat series that he just totally dropped the ball on, no pun intended, this one you can't say anything about him. Anything you've had to say, you know, negatively, or I've had to say, to kind of question his, mainly his heart and his drive into the game. I think he kind of shut everybody up, you know, playing in almost every game this year. And then, you know, coming into the last series of the finals and going into the first game scoring 50 plus points. Granted, I don't like when they count it, when it goes into overtime, because I think that just kind of takes away from it. You know, oh, he scored so many. Yeah, but you had an extra quarter. So, but, you know, I mean, I would love to say if he had everything going on tonight, but, you know, I think it all depends on the rest of his team. But they may as well just, you know, concede and let the Warriors win it tonight so that he can start his, pick what team he wants to go to next year.
Yeah, you know, did you actually see the quotes from Draymond Green where he mentioned that if LeBron signed with the Warriors, he wouldn't re-sign there?
No. I was unaware that he was up for a free agency.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. It was just kind of one of those things. But, yeah, he mentioned that he didn't have any interest there. And I, you know, to be fair, I mean, I kind of like to see that because, you know, that's how it used to be, that's how before everybody was, you know, friends and buddies and wanted to go on vacation together, you know, that was kind of the deal there, you know, guys wanted to beat other great players. So, you know, in a way I kind of respect them for it, but obviously he's definitely in the minority. I think everybody else would want to play with LeBron.
Yeah, but I think they've proven they don't need to. I don't even really think they needed Kevin Durant.
Yeah. That could be I guess let's call it an interesting question. Now, I know Durant is a free agent, and he's already mentioned that he plans on re-signing with the Warriors. If you're the Warriors and you have the opportunity, do you swap LeBron James for Kevin Durant in signings?
No, I don't really think it proves anything.
You know, yeah, and I mean, it would be two guys with, you know, different games. You know, obviously Durant is more of a, you know, outside shooter than LeBron, as LeBron isn't exactly a great three-point shooter like Durant is. But, yeah, I just thought it was kind of
I don't
kind of an interesting thing.
I just don't really think he'd fit into their whole system. You know, I mean,
yeah, so yeah,
if he were to go there, you know, this is a team that's already won, you know, championships, and, you know, for him, his voice wouldn't be the same. You know, you're going to try the stuff you do to Tyronn Lue to Steve Kerr. I don't think you get the same reception, and I don't think he has the same control over the team like he does in Cleveland, or if he heads to a team like Philadelphia or the Lakers.
Yeah, it would be humorous to see how that would work out if, you know, he did go someplace and, you know, couldn't kind of lead the way like he likes to do, I guess, so to speak, you know, be that guy, because, mm-hmm. you know, obviously these guys would all have, you know, let's call it seniority, you know, they had been with the team for, you know, longer, yeah. and all that other fun stuff, so.
Well, and think about his departure with Miami. You know, he went to Miami to win championships. You know, he wasn't a champion going into there. And, you know, something I told you I was surprised by was the Miami Heat entrance when I was down there. You know, LeBron came out, and there was a reaction, of course, but he was not last. Dwayne Wade came out last, and the entire place went nuts. You know, and here I'm like, well, everyone says that, you know, LeBron's the greatest ball player on the earth, on the world, you know, in the galaxy today, and yet the reaction from the Miami Heat fans was 100 times bigger to that for Dwayne Wade. You know, and you broke it down for me why that is and whatnot. But, you know, when Pat Riley drafted Shabazz Napier, is it? I believe that was, or, you know, the young kid.
Yeah.
He didn't do it because LeBron told him to. You know, whereas in Cleveland, they're kind of doing what he wants. Where Pat Riley did it as a gesture, you know, it was more of a negotiation to try to keep him there. It wasn't so much about LeBron said it. So, you know, you've got to imagine going into a system, you know, in Philadelphia looks even more inviting now that the president, I forgot his name already, you know, Mr. Twitter guy is gone. So you've got to figure there's going to be some restructuring, and what better way to get in with a system like that, because you'd have a little bit more weight to push around.
Yeah, you know, you wonder if, you know, he goes to a place like Philly, you know, obviously he would be the veteran guy, how that would kind of go down there with this.
And, I mean, let's be honest, if you look at, you know, just the two teams, the Lakers and the Sixers, I think he'd have a better chance of going to the finals and winning next year with the Sixers than he would with the Lakers, where I think the Lakers would be a couple of years away, even with him.
Yeah, they're definitely still a work in progress. You know, if it's, you know, maybe if they get, you know, I don't even know, because, you know, even if they were to add two, if they added LeBron James and Paul George, you know, they would, you know, obviously they would still have Lonzo Ball, and then they have a high draft pick here coming up, so they'll be able to add another, you know, big time quality player. But I still don't think that's enough in the West. I mean, you know, if Golden State comes back, you know, intact, like it looks like they will, and, you know, there's really no reason they shouldn't. You know, then you got Houston, who's right there. If, you know, San Antonio works out the goofy Kawhi Leonard situation, whatever that is, you know, going to go on there. Yeah, it's a big hurdle to climb. You know, I mean, obviously I'm going to be rooting for Minnesota to improve, and, you know, Jimmy Butler to stay healthy. So, yeah, I don't believe he's going to end up in the Western Conference. Do you – Do you think he ends up there?
No, I don't. You know, part of it is, and you would know this with, you know, booking wrestling shows, is you need your antagonist and protagonist. And technically in the NBA, you know, with sports, you really don't have a good guy and a bad guy. You have two good guys, but you need one from each side. And with the way the NBA is designed, they need the West, some of the East. Who are you promoting? You know, and if he goes anywhere, you know, does Russell Westbrook want to play with him? Because that would be a good team for him to go to and really kind of shine. And, you know, Melo's there, and but I don't even know if they'd have the money to go that route.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm not quite sure if they could afford him. I don't know the, you know, everybody's salary cap quite yet to see what's going on. And you know, obviously some of the teams that can afford him, he's not going to want to go there. Apparently, I believe, is it Portland apparently is going to make a run at him. You know, they have the money to bring him in, so. You know, we'll have to see. I don't expect him to end up there. I don't think you do either, do you?
No. But, you know, it'd be a shorter flight from Portland to L.A. than L.A. to Cleveland.
Yeah. So.
You know, or does he want to make history and try to work with the Bulls? I mean, that wouldn't get me back on his bandwagon.
I did actually hear one of the NBA analysts on the Mickey Mouse Network say that the Bulls are a very underrated team, and if they can get some help for Lauri Markkanen, they could make a run at eighth playoff spot next year in the East. And I'm like, yeah, that's where you want to be, eight. Great. That's what we want to hear. Thanks. Well, apparently they're getting better. I don't know. I didn't watch. I don't think I watched many of their games this year, but you know, according to this guy, they're on the right track, so we'll see.
Yeah, but if they make a run out for the eighth spot and they happen to go against Toronto, you never know.
Yeah, they might be up. Well, remember when they had Boston, they were up, what was it, 2 or 3 games to none, and then lost the series.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, that's because both of them got hurt.
Yes,
the guy
Isaiah
that
Thomas.
Nobody liked. No,
yeah.
I meant on the Bulls.
Oh, who was that? Who was that? That wasn't Jimmy Butler. Was it Derrick Rose?
No,
it was
the other free agent that brought in that nobody liked and stuck up for the young guys. Rajon Rondo. Once he went down, the Bulls went out of that series. They lost.
Yeah. So. Oh, but well, all right, Dan, you know, I haven't had the opportunity, obviously, to talk to you since Wednesday. You know, I threw my FanDuel lineup out there for you, you know, when you were here listening to me. And, you know, I ended up going with the incredibly hyped, incredibly overhyped Japanese sensation Shohei Ohtani, who turned out to be a complete third for me in that start. And, actually cost me money, because if he would have just hit the average points, I would have won money. So I doubt he'll ever make an appearance in my FanDuel lineup again, because he's just an overhyped buffoon. Well, now it comes out today, Dan, that he has what they described as a grade 2 sprain of his UCL ligament. That, of course, is the ulnar collateral ligament, easy for me to say, in his right elbow. Dan, I'm baffled. I don't understand how much more you baby this guy. He's pitching once a week. They're skipping his turns. He's not throwing a bunch of pitches. He's only 23 years old. What the hell goes on with these guys that it's just impossible for them to stay healthy?
Well, isn't this kind of attributed to the issues they discovered in his physical before the season even started?
You know, they don't mention it in the article here. They do say there was, you know, obviously there was pre-existing elbow damage But it was minimal enough and it had healed to the point that they thought he could pitch through it. Obviously he can't, and now there's actually some questions here if he's going to need Tommy John. So more and more it's looking like the Angels are really lucky they got him on that really low money deal, because obviously he's going to be a potato the rest of the year. He won't be reevaluated for 3 weeks, so he won't be throwing for 3 weeks. So basically what this is, so they won't see him again until July. Even when he does pitch, he'll probably only be able to go a couple innings. Let's pack this guy's season up and see how everybody's going to do this, right?
Well, I mean, looking at it, don't you think that's probably just the best decision? Why even bother?
At this point, I don't care. He was so, they really turned me against him right away when he had one decent start and they started handing him all kinds of awards. It drove me absolutely insane. I don't want to see him get hurt. I don't wish anybody to get hurt. But it was clear they had questions about him when they actively avoided him pitching against the Yankees. They knew he wasn't at the talent level to take on a team like that. And then he exits this game with a blister. I'm starting to think these guys pick up baseballs and get blisters. I don't understand that at all. Maybe they should try working for a living and they won't get blisters. Maybe do some manual labor or something. Dan could use some help with some yard work. Maybe that would help them out. Or I suggested to Stu yesterday that they start wielding on their hands like Moises Alou said he did. But all the overhypeness kind of killed me on this. So I'm just really down on this guy right now. Let's put him away. And it's kind of humorous because I've already seen, guys that begin to kind of back away from him after they wanted to hand him all those awards. And now all those guys are on the Gleyber Torres bandwagon for Rookie of the Year.
Of course.
So.
I wish you were tracking.
It just doesn't take long to. doesn't take long for these guys to bail on a guy. It doesn't matter how far behind them they were. And they had him. He was going to be the Cy Young Award winner, the Rookie of the Year, and the MVP. And I remember I told you, Harold Reynolds said that Mike Trout was now the second best player on the Angels. I wonder if he still feels that way. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So behind Albert Pujols. So, I'd love to know if Harold still feels that way. Maybe I'll have to shoot him a tweet and see if he would reply to me. I doubt it because nobody seems to reply to me. But too overhyped for me. And let's put the guy to bed and maybe we can try next year and maybe he can stay healthy. But yeah, I'm just baffled that a guy who pitches once a week can get hurt like this. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, you're highly going to be disappointed that, regardless, let me just say, I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago that his t-shirt I could not find on eBay any cheaper than like $70, $80. And that was the jersey shirt. It's back down to regular price, Big Jack, but the slight animosity I feel from you, I don't even want to waste the money in sending you one for your birthday. I truly believe that even though I think he'd probably wear it in 6 years, I don't know. I think that would be the first time you would get something like that and probably just leave it in the bag and shove it under your bed or something, throw it to the cat.
No, I wouldn't Mr. Fantasy you like that. I would still wear it just because, a lot has to do with the fact that I'm just too lazy to go downstairs to do laundry, so I wear pretty much, whatever I have. It would definitely get worn. But, yeah, it's just, like I said, they just kind of turned me against him right away. It drives me nuts when they do that because, it's like, come on, the guy's had two starts and we're given, oh yeah, he's going to be this and he's going to be this. Like, guys, it's two starts. It's like anybody could go out and have two hot starts.
Can you imagine if he would have struck out Martin Tebow?
Yeah. Oh God. Obviously, he's gone, so we won't have to talk about him for a while. But something you and I didn't get to talk about, I kept meaning to bring it up, and we just, we'd run out of time or we'd get on something else. I don't know if you'd seen this one, but the Rangers granted Tim Lincecum his release. I'm kind of wondering. Yeah, and that's why I'm wondering if he was granted his release because they weren't going to bring him up. In some cases, guys have that clause in their contract where, if they're not brought up by a certain date, and maybe in his case it was June 1st, that they could be released. But kind of looking at his numbers, he pitched in 10 games as just strictly as a reliever. He went 12.2 innings. Or 12 2/3, he was 1-1, but his ERA was 5.68. I don't know. I mean, it is possible. It's the Pacific Coast League, and I know that's a hitter's league, so maybe that accounts for a little bit of the higher ERA. But he pitched in it last year when he was with the Angels, and his ERA was only 3.76. I don't know, Dan. Is he's only 34, but is he done? Have we seen the best of him here?
I kind of think so, and you're right. I don't know if it was a clause in his contract, but apparently it was the Rangers had to decide after his rehab time in the minors if they were going to add him or let him go. So everything down in the minors is considered rehab.
So, obviously you wonder, the Rangers have, if not the worst record in the American League, they're in the running for it, and they didn't have a spot for him. So, is somebody else going to have a spot? Is there a place for him now?
I've got an article up right now that's from SB Nation. I'm not sure if this is a Giants-centric page, kind of like our old friend Al with the Cubs, but, they kind of point to bringing Lincecum back into the Giants system, and, their minor league team, the Rivercats, would, for lack of anything else, be a good publicity stunt for promotion, for the minor league team to get Giants fans out there to go see Lincecum down to the minors. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But if it does, it's another marketing explosion for them.
Yeah, because he becomes a, what you would call an interesting case scenario in this, new age of baseball, because, obviously we're not going to see 300 game winners anymore. I doubt with the way they handle pitchers now, you'll ever see another one. But, we are talking about a guy, he won back-to-back Cy Young Awards, and he's a three-time World Series winner. Is he Hall of Fame material? In his career, he is 110-89, so he's got a solid winning percentage, 55%. The ERA is 3.74, but, he also has, is it two no-hitters to his credit?
Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those where it more or less depends on who's on the ballot with him.
Yeah, because, it's obviously interesting. You throw in, he led the National League in strikeouts four times. So, there's a lot of interesting stats that, kind of point to, the possibility that he could, he could be that guy. I mean, obviously he doesn't have the win total, but yeah, the other things are right there. So I don't know. I mean, are you voting for him? I mean, I'm thinking if you had a vote, you're voting for him just because it's Tim Lincecum, right?
Yeah. If he signs my fat head, I'm voting for him twice.
But yeah, hopefully, you know, he finds a new home and has some good luck. You know, it would be nice to see him, see him get another shot at the big league level and, get a run, a little run to close out the career, maybe as a, middle guy or a setup guy. So, but then the other thing, you and I didn't get to talk about, we actually had an actual trade in Major League Baseball. I don't know if you caught up with this one, but the Diamondbacks went out and they got John Jay from the Royals in exchange for, it was two left-handed pitchers. Gabe Spire, I think, has been dealt multiple times in his career, and he's a left-hander. And then they also got a right-hander, Elvis Luciano. Obviously the Diamondbacks have some injury concerns in the outfield. You know, A.J. Pollock is out. They're saying till after the All-Star break, and then your guy Steven Souza Jr. has been on the DL multiple times. You like Jay as a Diamondback, or are you a little surprised that they didn't just call Yasmani Tomas up since they're paying him all that money?
Sadly, I think the Yasmani Tomas train has left. I believe he would do a lot better playing at third base than he would in the outfield. I knew there was a guy I didn't get on my fantasy teams this year. I think it's, while it's not a replacement for AJ, it's definitely a good fit for them. You need a guy who's going to be healthy. He's pretty much been, I would say, for the last 3 or 4 years, he's been pretty consistently healthy, and he's ready to go out there any day of the week, and he's going to play all three positions.
Yeah, now I have a friend by the name of Rory who's a gigantic Diamondback fan, and he really liked this move. And he even admitted he's obviously Jay's not a power hitter. He's only reached 10 home runs one time in his career. But he was hitting .307 this year, and he's a lifetime .290 hitter. The Diamondbacks have the lowest batting average among teams in the National League. So he liked the fact that just he might add a little bit of a punch to the top of their order if that's where they're gonna hit him there. So we'll have to see. But yeah, I was kind of interested to get your take because obviously we got to follow Jay last year. Considering he generally played 141 games for the Cubs last year, that's just nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and then Spire, who went one way in the deal, looks like he's pitched in 20 games all in relief. 29 and two-thirds innings. He was 1-0 with a 3.03 ERA in Double A for Arizona. And then the other guy here, let's see, Elvis Luciano. That's like a combination of the king and the best Italian last ever, right? He's just in rookie league right now. He has not pitched this year. But in the summer league, he went 3-1 in 11 total games, made 6 starts, and had a .298 ERA. They don't have any designation on why he hasn't pitched this year. So, I wonder if it will give me anything here. See what this Yeah, no, there's nothing on him. I'm guessing it must be some kind of injury situation, or something to that effect. But yeah, he has not pitched in 2018. He is only 18, so it'll be a lot of time before who knows if we'll ever see him. You know how these things go. They didn't give up too much to get him, so it looks like a good move.
Yeah, I mean the Royals. Dead last behind which should be the last place team of the White Sox just because of their rebuilding situation. But I mean, they're obviously going nowhere. So the John Jay signing for them is pretty much a kind of a complete waste.
Yeah, well, you know, I think turning them into a couple minor leaguers makes it a little better signing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because at least they got something for him in the end.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think the equation balances on both sides, so hopefully, you know, that's one thing they needed was pitching. Cause, you know, the pitchers they did have are not with the team anymore. Definitely not a single pitcher from the World Series team is with them. And then a couple of the guys they signed over the last couple of years are gone. You know, whether they're with your team or the Orioles, I forget where all their pitchers went.
So, oh, but all right, I'm looking here, Dan, and we actually have an official final. There was one afternoon game, and it featured the Cubs. They got by the Pirates 3-1. Mike Montgomery got a win. I don't know if you've went out and managed to pick him up yet, but he went 6 innings, 7 hits, one run. It was earned. Walked one, struck out one. The interesting thing here, Dan, is Pedro Strop went an inning and a third to pick up his first save of the year. Gave up one hit and struck out one. On the Pirates side, Chad Kuhl got the start, took the loss. He went 5 1/3, 8 hits, 3 runs. They were all earned, but he walked two and struck out six. You know, Morrow has looked a little gassed lately, but are you surprised Strope was the guy they turned to? You know, he hasn't had great success as a closer through his career, so are you a little shocked he was the guy?
No, I think they know that Justin Wilson's not going to be a guy that's going to close out games for you. And you know, I'm starting to begin to wonder if maybe the Carl Edwards experiment is kind of slowing down a little bit. And if
Edwards is on the DL, so they used him today anyways, to be fair to Carl Edwards.
Yeah.
So
poor guy. So I'm sure he'll be on the on his way down pretty soon. You know, I mean, why don't we
Yeah, so fantasy-wise, you know, if you're looking for hitters, each team had 9 hits. Josh Harrison, Austin Meadows, and Colin Moran each had 2 apiece for the Padres. One of Moran's hits was a double. Jordy Mercer also doubled for the Pirates. Harrison scored the run, and Starling Marte drove it in. That was all the Pirates there. On the Cubs side, Chris Bryan had 3 of their 9 hits. Jason Hayward had 2, and Wilson Contreras had 2. One of Hayward's hits was a double. Dan, I don't know how much of this you saw or how much of this you got into. Chris Bryant, 3-for-4 with a run scored in the leadoff spot. Yeah, go. Oh, and Dan fell off. No, we got to wait for Dan to come back to talk about Chris Bryan. Jeez, I'm actually interested to see what he thought about him him being up there. So, I'm sure if you've listened to the podcast before, you know Joe Maddon just drives me absolutely insane with this stupidity. But I'm sure he'll have some incredibly ridiculous reason on why he did it. And you know, I know the Cubs don't have a true leadoff hitter. You know, they might if they would play Alberto Almora every day, but we that's not going to happen. It's just, they're not going to take the at-bats away from Ian Happ or Ben Zobrist, who they love so dearly. So, you know, you just got to kind of live with it. You know, Jason Hayward's been in the two-hole for a while, and he's actually hitting well. I don't have a problem with that at all, especially if it brings Hayward's bat to life. But yeah, just the oddity there, you know. Ooh. Oh yeah, you know, Dan, you went away just when I wanted to ask you about Chris Bryant going 3-for-4 in the leadoff spot.
Just keep rolling with it, because then he'll be the Cubs' greatest leadoff hitter since Anthony Rizzo.
Just kills me. I tell you, I think they do it just to get my goat. I sometimes think they do it, but we'll have to see how it goes, right?
Do you put him
back with the mall if you want to perform?
I think you do. You might as well. What the hell? If Joe Mana was really the smartest guy in the room, why didn't they win last year or go to the World Series?
Well, because he doesn't know how to handle a pitching staff. I think you and I both know that.
Yeah.
So,
he's the smartest guy in the room. You got to do all these little tricks and trades and, why didn't you go back-to-back? But I did want to bring up, because there was another slide issue yesterday. And, of course, if you missed it, the point was brought up, regardless of what Joe Mann thinks, that the slide rule is a stupid rule, it is a rule.
Yeah.
And the question that I heard this morning is, and I had to, tune in or go back to the highlights and figure out what happened, was even though it's a stupid rule according to the coach, these Cubs players are confused as to what the rule is. But, I don't play baseball professionally, but I'm very clear on what the rule is. And, our local station even has Elwood Armora on tape a couple of weeks back from Anthony Rizzo's illegal slide, which it was, because he deviated from the path. Saying that he's confused as to what the rule is, and the biggest question brought out was, why is this player confused as to what the rule is? Don't they have coaches that they practice with and are supposed to be, the guy guiding them into understanding the rules of the game? So, number one, I don't know if you've seen it, but the first unwritten rule, not only an unwritten rule or anything, was that he dove face first into home plate with a catcher that was on home plate. And for anything else, he should have never did that. If he were going to do that, he may as well have just conceded the out, because more than anything, I'd much rather prefer Albert Amora being tagged out than being out for, 3 to 6 weeks because he broke his thumb, or, some minor injury, because he dove head first. Or, not only that, what if the catcher has to jump for the ball and ends up accidentally, pulling a Ric Flair and dropping a knee on his dome? Number one, the Cubs coaching staff is failing in that department, where they're not informing their players, like, hey, don't dive, slide head first into the home plate. It's not worth the injury. Take the out. But because it's such a stupid rule, I don't know why Joe Mann still pulled the throughout the replay. Stupid rule, and he believes that the catcher can block play like that, then he shouldn't have called it. But, that's just me being a jerk. I think it was definitely reviewable, and it was overturned, which thankfully baseball got it right. But that was kind of the biggest thing that I thought of. I went back and I read the rules, and regardless of what all my homer friends and bloggers and all that stuff want to say, when you go back to Anthony Rizzo's slide, the rules clearly state that the foot has to be in the direction or touching the plate. Anthony Rizzo's foot, that wasn't really lifted or intent of injuring a guy, but more so to break up the play, was in nowhere near a straight line direction to home plate. And that's why the interpretation, I think, is being skewed, because these guys aren't really, they just want to see what they want to see. But if you watch it frame by frame in slow motion, he immediately turns to the left in the direction of the catcher, who already tagged the base and has taken a step, almost two steps away from home plate. Therefore, it was an illegal slide. He should have never dove at first. He should have slid into that seat first for anything. If he would have just stayed on the inside or in the direction he would have gotten his foot underneath the, you know, the tag to begin with. And, you know, it was still would have been safe, even though it was overturned. But, you know, kind of, well, yeah, I guess, I don't know if I have a question for you, but what I would have thrown out, because I was waiting to find the Joe Manna responses to that, and they didn't have his post-game report or interview or any of that, was, you know, Joe Manna calls that a stupid rule, and my response to him would be, well, it's not 1940 anymore.
Yeah.
You know, use some of his own terminology against him.
Yeah, I, you know, like, I won't go as far as saying, like, I don't think Anthony Rizzo's slide was dirty, but it was definitely illegal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no questions asked about that. I it's to the point where I don't even know how you... You know, you kind of, you know, look at it anymore. I mean, it's one of those situations where if you're a Cub fan, there's going to be absolutely nothing wrong with it. That's just because mm-hmm. you're a Cubs fan. You know, that's just how it's going to go. And, I get that. That's how, you know, some people have that, what you would call blind fandom when it comes to these things. And, you know, nothing the team does is wrong. Okay, you know, I get that. That's fine. But, yeah, for the manager to come out, and, I mean, you can tell just by listening to his interviews that he thinks he's smarter than everybody else. You mm-hmm. know, just when he's talking to the media alone, you know, he makes sure to try to throw in some of the bigger words that, you know, not everybody's going to get. And, you know, you got to hope maybe he'll spell them out for you so you can understand what he's talking about. But
I would ask him.
I'm, you know, he's another one of those guys I'm kind of done with. You know, he's not, mm-hmm. he's, you know, he's not the great manager that everybody thinks he is. I honestly think you could have won a World Series managing the Cubs. That year, you know, this team has so much talent, you know, that the fact that they didn't really contend last year, you know, and the Dodgers kind of beat them, you know, almost willy-nilly, is more an indictment on him than anything. I mean, this mm-hmm. team is a contender every year. They were a joke the entire regular season. It's like they were on cruise control, and this year it's kind of the same thing.
It's kind of like, hey, I got the job done, so I'm just going to ride out my turn.
Yeah, well, you know, you look at it now as, I mean, you won a World Series with the Chicago Cubs. Your life is made in Chicago the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what more do you need to do? And, you know, that's something we've been waiting for what? It was 100 and how many years?
8.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's set. Your legacy is set. You don't have to do anything ever again. You know, you'll always have a you know, a Chicago spot, a Chicago place, however you want to look at it. Just kind of how it, you know, kind of how it goes with this. But yeah, you know, I mean, he's not the end all be all that, you know, everybody's made him up. You know, I'll never buy that. You know, it's easily clear that he has no clue how to handle a pitching staff. And even bringing Kevin Hickey in this year hasn't helped him. So, no. You know, I mean, no, if your name's not no. John Lester, you're not trusted on the mound.
Pretty much. You know, and not to completely bash him or, you know, continue on that train, but, you know, this rule may be stupid in his point of view, but this year, Anthony Rizzo was the first time I've heard him come out against the rule. And again, going back to the players being confused as to what the rule actually is, this wasn't implied or implemented this season. This rule took place in 2012.
Right.
You know, majority of these guys have no rhythm, didn't even play in the major league at that time. Hayward is over. I mean, these guys should be brought up into the new slide rule.
You know, the perfect question you asked, when all this happened, you had the perfect question for Madden's comments. If this had happened to Wilson Contreras and he would have been injured, what would Joe Madden have said? You know, he would be backing this rule up 100%, wanting to know why that guy wasn't suspended or however it worked out. But since it was his guy, and I mean, he's doing his job defending his guy, let's be fair. But, you know, he comes off like a pompous ass doing it. You know, that's the thing with him. You know, it's just he when he gives interviews, he sounds like he's talking to you and he's too good for you. Well, but all right, enough BS there, Dan. I did hit a home run last night, but I came nowhere close to winning. And oddly, I couldn't use Harper or Trout, and I think it was my first home run of the week because one of them was off and one played early. But luckily, they're both back tonight, Dan, so I was able to plug them back into my lineup tonight. Harper hitting second for the Nationals, Trout hitting second for the Angels. And since this week is first baseman week, I am pairing them up with Jose Martinez of the Cardinals, who's hitting third for them tonight. So that's what I'm doing with Home Run Derby. My FanDuel lineup real quick, since we're kind of up against the gun here. I'm going with Chris Sale. I spent big money on Chris Sale against the White Sox. He's guaranteed double-digit strikeouts tonight, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
All right, he cost me $11,500. First base, we got Jesus Aguilar for $3,300, hitting third for the Brewers. Second base is Cesar Hernandez of the Phillies. He also cost me $3,300, hitting first for the Phillies. Oddly, all my infielders cost me $3,300. Brian Anderson of the Marlins is at third. He's hitting second for them at $3,300. And then at shortstop is Jose Peraza of the Reds, hitting seventh for them at $3,300. I don't know how the hell that happened. Outfield starts with Dexter Fowler of the Cardinals, hitting sixth for them tonight, costing $2,800. Jesse Winker of the Reds is my next outfielder, hitting sixth for them tonight. He also cost me $28. I'm going with Josh Reddick of the Astros. Should be a good value at $2,600. He's hitting sixth. And then my utility guy is Lonnie Chisenhall of the Indians. Only cost me $2,100. So there's what I'm plugging in for FanDuel tonight. Dan, did you get a home run lineup in? You remember what it is?
I only went with guys in a second. So you already know the first two are Trout, Harper, and drumroll, please. Can you guess who is my third guy?
The Cubs have already played. Go on, my
Aaron Judge.
Oh, damn. You know, hey, Moncada was a pretty good guess, wasn't it? I just kind of pulled that out of my hat, but, you know. Hey, there you go. And, you know, while we are up against the gun, I did mention off the air, today is Mr. Fantasy's birthday. So we definitely have to go out and wish him a very happy. What did we decide, Dan? He's 60 today. We don't really know how old, so we're going with 60. Very happy 60. Hopefully he won't be over celebrating and he'll be able to. Oh, look at that! We just posted an article for the game. That one guy just get over to the video and look for that new blog popping up tomorrow morning. As always, it's fantastic when you come over here and listen live. Dan and I really think it's awesome when you do that. But don't forget, the podcast is available to you. Anytime you want to go over and listen to it, at podcast. Dan, before we go, the Warriors close on a new flight. You need to break.